Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and we thank all of you for tuning in again tonight. We certainly appreciate your continued support, and we want to remind you that today kind of marks the 3-year anniversary of our Blog Talk Radio program here, New Day Resurrection and Liberation. And again, we thank all of you for continuing to support our radio broadcast, continuing to pass the word. We have reached thousands and thousands of people over the past 3 years. And again, we are extremely, extremely thankful for that. Well, let's see now. Before we really kind of go into what we're going to go into tonight, which is pretty elaborate, I think, and also very informative, but before we do that, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and we remind you that we are always very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. With that said, we want to remind you that we're going to open up the chat room probably in about 10 minutes or so. And we certainly hope that you will go to the chat room and share information or whatever have you. Also, we want to raise the question as to how much you liked Blog Talk Radio, or rather us being here on Blog Talk Radio, particularly New Day Resurrection and Liberation over the past 3 years. Those of you who have been continuously listening or maybe just listened a few times, we still like to know what your thoughts are about what we do here. And also, we want to hear some other comments from you, especially as it pertains to the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. We definitely want to hear what brothers have to say about, you know, their role in helping to eliminate what is now what we feel reaching a crisis all over the U.S. In fact, starting around 10:45, we invite brothers to call in and share your opinion, share your view about what it is you feel that black men need to do now in making certain that our sisters are protected as best as possible and certainly defended. And we're going to be talking more and more about that issue as we proceed. And want to remind you that we have a radio program that also is specifically designed to address that type of issue. I want to also let you know that the Me Woman movement is now in full force. It took a while to get us here, but my, we are definitely here now. And what I mean by that is ready to do what we said we would do in 97. We have now really, done a lot of work to make certain that we were able to move forward in the way that it was originally envisioned. And now you're going to see exactly what we were talking about. Those who got in our way or tried to, those who attempted to misdirect, those who were naysayers and so forth and so on, well, you're lost. You not only lost, but there are consequences to behavior, especially when it impedes the progress of our people. So we have one message for you, and then we're going to get on with the more positive note for tonight's show, and that is to talk with our sister Ima again. We're going to speak with her about Ghana and us getting ready to go to Ghana in January and bringing forward the Million Woman Movement into Africa. And we're going to also talk about our brothers going to the UN next week. Again, we were able to get them in, and they're going to be representing the Million Woman Movement from the brother standpoint. So we got a lot of good stuff we want to talk about. But this is good, too, because it lets folks know, as our brother Shango said, you either going our way or you're in the damn way. So we have a message for those who have tried to get in our way up till now. And you know what? Here it is. Here's that message. Wow.
Hey! Got to pay back! Revenge! Payback. I'm mad. Sit down with my girlfriend.
Yes, we do.
Hey,
Just, for drops of nothing, they will sell us out at the drop of a hat or anything else. How long are we going to continue to allow this to happen? How long are we going to continue to allow our political prisoners to be not only, you're talking about Lumia almost 30 years now. Of course, Sundiata Okoli, Motula Shakur. I mean, there's so many. Herman Bell. Yet, we sit back and we talk about being black, being African, or whatever it is that you want to call yourself. The bottom line is still going to be the bottom line if you're highly melanated. But when are these people supposed to get what they get? Well, as far as I'm concerned, ASAP. And that's why it was so appropriate to play the big payback, because that's how I'm feeling today. That's how I'm sure many of you are feeling. And some of you may not have the courage or the gumption to say it, and that's okay, because some of us will say it for you. This is what Mumia represented in many, many ways. He was known as the voice of the voiceless, and again, last week, we looked at the anniversary or the born day, as they call it, of Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. That was last week, April the 24th. And, of course, a few days later, on roughly April the 26th, it was announced that Mumia's death sentence was literally unconstitutional. Now, of course, for those of you who follow the case of Mumia Abdul-Jabbar, then you know some time ago the Supreme Court sent the decision that was rendered by the Third Circuit Court, which said Mumia would then get life in prison, which is still ridiculous, instead of being on death row. Nevertheless, the bottom line is last week it was announced that he would now remain getting a life sentence. Of course, the district attorney has said that they're going to try to, you know, have that overturned or whatever. But what we have to realize is that a life sentence is still non-acceptable, where some may think that, oh, well, you know, this is better than him being on death row. That's a distraction. That's a straight-up distraction. That's to make you think that, oh, it's better than being on death row. No, it's better to be out, period. And we're not going to get derailed with anything that even remotely sounds like that's not what we're talking about, meaning we want freedom, period. And that's what we're going to strive for. That's what we're going to continue to struggle for. And there's no other verdict or anything else that is acceptable. So we're going to talk more, a little more about that a little later on. But for right now, what we're going to get ready to do is talk about the issue of brothers. What are our brothers going to do about the issue of violence and abuse of our sisters? Meaning, what are black men, real black men, mind you, not these people that run around talking about, you know, that they are this and that and the other, but we're talking about real black men. What are our brothers going to do in regard to the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls nationwide? There are so many anti-violence groups and organizations all over the U.S. Most of them are getting funded to deal with some kind of anti-violence program, but how many of them address the issue of violence and abuse of women and girls, of our women and girls? And I'm not just talking about this domestic violence, which they don't even deal with that, but that's okay. We now are going to raise the question, raise the issue, raise our voices, and then some. And we're going to get to the bottom of what's really going on, and we hope that people don't like it. Because when people don't like something, that makes them do something too. So, bottom line is, we are no longer going to allow it. We are now very proactive about it. And I think we have a brother on one of our live lines who's going to share with us what he may think about this issue. And we welcome any other brothers to call in and let us know what you might think or want to say about this issue. We welcome it. We're going to open up the chat room in a few minutes so you can go there as well. But right now we're going to go to our line here, and we're going to talk with someone. Your extension is last numbers. It's, I think, 2803, I think. We want to know what you have to share with us or say about this issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. Caller, could you tell us your name?
Yes. Hey, sister, how you doing? This is Brother Daryl out
of Brother Daryl.
How you doing, Sister Empress Tree, and the great
brother.
Listeners of your radio show? Pleasure to be here.
Oh, good, thanks. Well, I know you got something to say, brother, because, you know, we've been talking for a minute just in general about some other topics, and you've always been very candid about, you know, what you as a black man feel that's going on with the violation of our sisters nationwide. So tell us a little bit about your position as a black man. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you from a male perspective. As a black male role model, there's a lot of, like you said, so-called anti-violence activities and groups and per se that are existing in our areas that are supposed to help fight for these causes. But in the mainstream, you often do not see women at the forefront spearheading these projects.
Mm-hmm.
I think you may have maybe more than maybe 60 different advocacy groups that help nonviolence programs within, you know, certain areas of the continental United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I have yet to see many, you know, African sisters that
That's
really
right.
these programs mm-hmm. that are at the forefront leading the charge against the conspiracies that we deal with as black people, period. We've seen things on the news come about where mothers are getting jailed for having their children in certain school districts.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen in the news where, you know, women and young girls, when they're with their friends and colleagues, they may get stopped for jaywalking and then assumably get punched in the face by, you know, Caucasian police officers. And we just stand idly by and do absolutely nothing. And that needs to stop, because these are our women, and it is spoken and has been said unto me as a young child. This, the character of a race is measured by the character of its, well, it's, I'm sorry, the strength of a race is measured by the character of its woman.
That's right.
Meaning yeah. that many of us were brought up, even if single family homes, were close to our mothers. Our mothers, the birthplace, the birth seed, that nurtured us. If fathers were not there or didn't do the active role between school, life, and playing and interaction with that child's growth, we had a constant bond with mom. You see professional football players saying, "Hey, mom," you see them on TV, "well, that's my mom, and I love you, mom."
Mm-hmm.
The life they know is the lifestyle that these women took with both hats. They wore the hat of the male role model and of the female role models, and they raised that child. And these dire times now is making it more complex, even more complex for the women to wear that hat of a woman or a male in a
mm-hmm.
single family home with the violence that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're making it to where now they can be impervious to any wrongdoing by the powers that be, by punching them in the face or arresting them
mm-hmm.
when they kids to school. And us as black men need to start being more aggressive. I think it's time to stop just sitting around and passing the buck of writing papers with titles on it, no matter what civil rights agency you're from, because we're not being taken seriously. We weren't being taken seriously when Adolph Grimes and Oscar Grant situations were going about
mm-hmm.
because they felt that, you know, I see personally an eye for an eye.
That's right.
How extreme and how core I am.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you take one of ours out, well, we take one of yours out, plain and simple. But then if that's, you know, not to be a negative aspiration,
mm-hmm.
the way I feel. And I feel even more so if you punch one of our women in the face,
mm-hmm.
I say we need to go back and start stomping you a mud hole in your behind.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody's sister, somebody's daughter. That's a young future mother of another black seed that will grow up into this life and go into the world, and you're going to cut it off by punching them in the face. You're going to throw them in jail for going to sending a child to school when they're already homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying us black men, we may need to step up a little bit. Now, my wife and my queen are with me at all times, and I mean
mm-hmm.
I'm a family of six. I have four children and a strong, conscious wife,
mm-hmm.
and I am very adamant about any school principal or professor or whomever to attack my child. Now, you heard last year, you helped me out tremendously when my daughter was chastised by a middle school principal right here in Garner.
Mm-hmm.
You offered great support, and I was able to talk to you on the radio show about that. I don't want to talk too much about it because I'm just one family. I'm just one person. Of course, other families may be subdued to the same neglect by the school systems, but as black men, I think we need to be more aggressive in our stance in supporting black women.
Absolutely, brother. You are so on point. And I'm going to bring in another brother. And, Brother Darrell, I want you to meet Brother Ramasus, because what we are doing from the Million Women Movement level of instituting the Black Women's Defense League and so forth is connecting our brothers nationwide with one another who have these similar feelings so that we can begin to develop a strong network of very conscious and proactive-minded people. And, Brother, please know that what you are saying I am not only in complete agreement with, but I strongly believe as a woman that once our sisters, especially the young girls, once
yes.
they see our brothers responding to the violations that's inflicted upon them, once they see more black men, even if they aren't consciously aware of anything yet themselves, but once
right.
they see our brothers taking that stand,
yes.
that is going to have an impact at some point in time. So I'm going to bring in Brother Ramasus. And Brother Ramasus, I want you to meet Brother Darrell. This is a good brother down in the North Carolina area, because at some point I'll bring all you brothers together and so that we can really begin to connect and do this thing the way a family really needs to do. At this point in time, it's the sisters, as you said, Brother Darrell, the sisters have now got to step it up and step forward in
yes.
this particular struggle as it pertains to our women and girls. Our women's voices must now not only be heard, we've got to be seen in our communities. We cannot continue to allow white women or any other women to
right.
represent the issues that is about us, particularly.
Exactly right.
And we can't allow it anymore. So, Brother Ramasus, are you on that line?
You know I am. I'm right here.
Brother
Ramasus, right
meet Brother Darrell.
Hey, brother, how you
line.
Doing? Good pleasure to meet you, Brother Ramasus.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to hear you and meet you as well. And I have had the pleasure of interviewing a number of people, Nellie Fuller being one,
mm-hmm.
where my primary focus will be, and Francis Quest Walden, where the focus will be. That will cover the male and female image
mm-hmm.
For the moment, okay? And I listen to what's being said, and without being confrontational in what's going on, we must agree that we can dialogue with one another without running over one another.
Mm-hmm.
We all have different points, okay? But we must realize that right now, those aren't even our points.
Mm-hmm.
These are points based upon, and I'm going to use Empress Fillet's terminology for a moment, under white domination.
That's right.
Okay? Under the system of white domination, and now I'll throw in the word that is more familiar, racism, white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
okay, we continue to do the same things like an alcoholic and expect different results. Now, and that means to send our children to our enemy schools,
mm-hmm.
okay? I want to move quickly to the reference of you stating that you have a strong African family, which
mm-hmm.
is unique within this environment, to even be able to say that statement. I wish I could join you in that statement, okay? Mm-hmm. But to have a strong black family and to have them with you the majority of the time, as you stated, okay, and to support them from every means is vitally important. The majority of the brothers who are out here haven't a clue, have not a clue to what's going on. And unfortunately, the sisters who are going through it don't have a clue themselves either. Okay? Why? Because somebody else packed our lunch. That means we went through their system. Okay? And what's in our head, they put there.
Right.
This is why the majority of us end up fighting one another. instead of looking at the system that is causing the whole situation.
We're in a system
that tells us to be men, right? Let's just walk it right through, right?
We're in a system
that says stand up and be a man, okay? And they give out the measuring lines for being a man. At the same time, removing every system in place that would cause you to be the man that they're defining, such as they say that the man should be the breadwinner, right?
Mm-hmm.
What systems are in place for you to go out here in this environment? Let's just take Philadelphia. For you to be the breadwinner as a black male, they close the factories, they remove the trades from the school, okay? They institutionalize imprisonment programs so that you go from school to jail. There's no step in between, from school to jail, okay? A college degree, you're still working at McDonald's, okay? Then they take and so-called, now here's the trick, they so-called put the woman up front. She is to make the salary so that the man feels inadequate. Now he's in the house. She's the breadwinner. Now she comes in, and instead of being on an equal pace, she says, I am the head pace. They created a competition that should not even exist.
Thank you.
Based upon the way that we operate as a people. You see what I'm saying?
But hold it, Brother Ramasu.
Absolutely.
Not to interrupt, but I have to interrupt because
I
want us to stay focused for this particular segment. So you brothers are going to have the opportunity to sit down and discuss this at length when we have our session in October for brothers only, okay?
That's right.
To examine the causes, the reasons, and all of that. But what I want to hear from your analysis, with all that you're saying, and surely Brother Darrell will concur because he talks often about, you know, the reality of white supremacy and what they try to do with that. So the two of you are going to definitely have a good conversation. But two things I need to say. One is this. We got to be real careful about some of these analogies of what we think is the reason for certain things. And number two, I want to get to the real point of what we're talking about tonight, for tonight, which is, what should black men do, or can black men do, or want to do, or should do, in your opinion, based on what you know about global white, attempted global white domination? What can our brothers who really have some understanding or overstanding or want to, what are some of the things that our brothers can begin to do to help eliminate this problem?
I'm glad you said that. From a radical, hardcore standpoint, being a former member of the New Black Panther Party, actually tell you as a suggestion, when we come across what we know as white domination or white supremacy that's violated our people and our women specifically, I think it's our job as men to make sure we document name, dates, and time of the key specific people involved. And I think we need to start creating a billboard type documenting status where it's posted up on a various website or a specific website or a hidden website, however, or whatever we may need to do, of the violations with the key names of people that created these acts. So therefore, when it comes time to take a specific action against the whole nature of violence towards women and our people in general, we'll know where to take the fight to specifically.
Okay. All right. Now, Brother Ramasus, I want to hear a comment from you in terms of, so, you know, a solution or something that we can begin to do. Before I do that, though, I'm going to bring in Brother Born Understanding, okay? And we're going to have Brother Ramasus give his comment. But before we bring in Brother Born Understanding, what I want to also add is, now, remember, brothers, these are just suggestions or ideas that we want to come up with, and we want our brothers to begin to try to, you know, come up with some kind of resolution or some kind of preliminary something that we can begin to implement. Now, case in point, and this is why it's so important that brothers – make these statements. A few weeks ago, as Brother Ramasus knows, because he's right here in Philadelphia, a 21-year-old sister is at the court, traffic court building here in Philadelphia, and she's in there paying a ticket. She come outside. For some reason, her old boyfriend is outside. She's with her new boyfriend. Three males jumps on this sister, 21 years old, and she's pregnant. They hit her so hard that 2 hours later, when they took her to the hospital, she's pronounced dead. As
wow.
this happens in the street, in broad daylight, in front of a public court building where there's security all around there, cameras everywhere, but yet nobody, not one person, jumped in to try to help her.
Now, sister, let me stop you there, because I feel the pain and the anger and the hurt, sentiment-wise, very much so. In my heart and my spirit, when I see any person beaten to that level, to where they do not recover completely or at all. And I must tell you that when you see that happen, mind you, it's been condoned when we've seen police officers do it.
Right.
So when we think it's okay to do these things, and then you have an agenda posted up where you have the videos and the ostracizing of black women shaking their butts and
right.
being space, and it seemed like you have to get the light-skinned sisters for movie roles.
Right.
See them on Craigslist and Backstage and all these different sex sites catering to corporate white domination. It's more or less like, what message are we really sending black women? If they are to aspire to any higher achievement, it's supposed to be that of approval of white domination.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
right.
see the condoning of or our own people beating them, well, you have to realize this one fact. I believe the most time any black person is on death row is when they've killed a white person.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a black person on death row, they are not on death row because they have killed a black person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a high-profile case that usually goes to a minority judge who's often either Latino, Hispanic, Korean, or either black female or male judge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That way it looks like it wasn't a biased case.
Right.
What you're looking at is no different than the beating of a young brother that we saw by a black police officer in Philadelphia, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Different than when you see black police officers taking the role model of beating our own people. It's black on black violence again, and it's condoned to prove that I can do my job and support white supremacy while I'm on my job and nobody question me.
Right. Well, and again, I'm going to bring in Brother Born Understanding, but I want to take note of something again. Even in the case where our brother Esquire was beaten here in Philly by the cops, there were people standing there, but they did, yo, what's happening? Yo, what? Stop. They did try to do something, and even now they continue to have meetings, and they make sure when they go to court with him and so forth. So I'm saying there's a continual thing when it comes to certain issues. I'm saying that this woman, this 21-year-old who weighed about 120-something pounds, pregnant, not one person. People
yeah.
stood there and watched this, brother. They watched this. And,
yeah.
and then got on the news later and said, yeah, wow, they were beating on her. And
yeah,
I'm saying,
there's no reason for that whatsoever.
No
reason in the world for that whatsoever. In front of a courthouse, there was no
right.
law enforcement.
There's
no emergency.
Exactly.
You know, there's officers of the court
exactly.
that coming in and out of a courthouse
exactly.
10 and 15 minutes apart with their schedules
right.
for court hearings. And
that's
I'm pretty
right.
sure some metropolitan cities are even more vastly scheduled than that. But, I mean, in the city of Philadelphia,
that's right.
you have judges coming in on schedule for different trial cases.
Right.
You have
so this was traffic court, which is not as extensive as regular court. But still, your point is still valid. It's still the same. They still have security people in there or police people. There has to be, because a lot of money passes through this particular court, because people go there to pay their ticket or to get a hearing about their tickets or so forth. So you're still right, but it's not like a regular common pleas or – but it is always crowded, It's always a lot of people around. There's always a lot of money transacted because people go there to pay their tickets or to have their hearings. So you're still right on point. And, again, no one did nothing. Let's go to this other line, and I think, Board Understanding, are you there?
Peace.
Peace. All right, all right. What do you think about what we talked about?
Peace,
let me introduce you as Brother Darrell on one end and Brother Ramasu's on the other.
Peace to the brothers.
Hey,
right.
Black, how you doing?
Yeah. All right, I'm good.
I ain't good.
But Seuss, I know you're back there.
I'm not going to kid myself. I'm going to tell you that now. I'm waiting until I'm re-invited back in because I certainly take issue with all of what's going on. And brothers, you all have valid points.
I just state your well-being. I just want to know, was you good with your well-being? Not about the situation.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, I was listening and I did the knowledge to, you know, what was stated about, you know, the 21-year-old sister getting getting beat down and killed.
Mm-hmm.
My thing would be this, and this is getting right to the point. I was speaking to my brother earlier about this, and I was telling him about, you know, the savage things that go on within our, you know, communities and our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that when I see stuff like that, you know what I mean, it's usually people that look just like me.
Right.
So I told him straight up, it's time for us to just get at them brothers, you know what I mean? And when I say get at them brothers, I mean really go check them. And when I say check them, you know what I mean, that means step to them and, you know, see what the problem is, and then we take it from there.
That's right.
And that's it. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know what I mean, once if they feel as though, you know, whoever feels as though that they can get away with it, and one of the brothers has said that if they can get away with it and they're not held accountable or they're not checked, then they feel as though that, you know, it's okay to do it, you know. But as also the brother has said, when you get one of mine, I got to get two of yours.
That's
and
right.
That's just how it's got to be. You know what I mean? Because certain people just don't understand reasoning. They don't understand, being diplomatic. People just don't understand that. You know, and that's been since we've been here in the beginning of this so-called America here. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we just have to step up and be, you know, men and check them.
That's
and when
true.
I say mm-hmm. check them, you know, after we get at them and go see them, you know, a few of us brothers that are of like mind, then, you know, it will be dealt with. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like this. If the sister returned her essence, nobody should be able to walk around and talk about how they did that or brag about it.
That's
or put it on YouTube and all this other nonsense.
That's
that,
right.
You know, that they, or put it on the news even. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, I'm just saying, we just got to get together, you know, as like-minded brothers and check them.
That's right.
Well, as I said earlier, family, come October, there will be a two-day session for brothers only. The 2 days will really address a variety of areas because, see, we all understand and overstand again that there are reasons for certain things, and we're not saying to just outright do A, B, and C, but what we do know is we are going to address this holistically, and so, again, we're going to create a forum for brothers to come together, talk about the issue. We know that some of it is because of the economy. Some of it is because of, a brother may have been abused as a child. There's an array. But we also know that we now have enough black psychiatrists, black psychologists, black sociologists. We got enough folk in our culture and in our community to address any need. It's just a question of us putting it together. So now, if a brother needs help, we're going to give him help. We're going to make sure that you brothers are going to be a network to help brothers who want help, okay? If they man enough to say, look, I have a problem, then we're going to be family enough to say, okay, this is what we're going to do to try to help you. Now, the other part of that is if for whatever reason, our family, and we'll explain some of how we structure some of these things. We'll give you more insight into it later. But if, in fact, for whatever reason, after talking with our elders, after talking with our community, connected folks, where decisions or where cases will be sent and reviewed, that panel or that council of our people will make a decision.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to elaborate on that at this point in time, but it's just to let people know that with what all of you brothers are saying is a part of how we look at proceeding with this, from a healing aspect to any other aspect that may be necessary. And there's going to be mechanisms in place to deal with each and every aspect of it, because there is no throwaways here, to the best
right.
of our ability. But at the same time, we do understand cancer. And
yes.
we know that you cannot put a Band-Aid on a disease like cancer or some of these other notorious kind of things that eat away at you. You cannot just put a Band-Aid on it. You've got to cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
That's right.
So, again, this is why as sisters, as nurturers, we're going to always strive to do the best thing for our family, for our people. But at the same time, as Brother Darrell has suggested in numerous occasions in our dialogue, sisters have now got to take their rightful place and position. We've got to now let go. We've got to stop harboring certain things. If a brother got an issue or a problem, we can't keep running and say, yeah, but see, he was, you know, okay, yeah, we know. So now here we have something for him to go to some other brothers and deal with the situation. That's what
mm-hmm.
your brothers have got to help our brothers to do. Because
right.
we know there's an array of reasons why certain things are happening. But at the same time, we got children in our community who are being molested.
Yes.
And people don't want to talk about this. We got people in our conscious community that are being molested.
Mm-hmm.
We've got other situations in our conscious community. I'm not just talking about just the general community at large. I'm talking about in our so-called conscious community, in some of our organizations, okay? We've got sexism beyond belief. We've got pimping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may not be like on the corner, but we got people in our own organizations pimping some of these sisters.
Yeah,
in a crude, crude way. And ain't nobody trying to really talk about this because it's politically incorrect or inappropriate or you hating or whatever. And, you know, and I'm at the point now where it's like, you know what? Let me tell you. Anyway, let me stop with that right there. But the bottom line is. Hold up. Okay. So. Now, back to the brothers, because that's where we're at with this, brothers, okay? We do this hand in hand in that, as I always say on our shows, you know, we are not trying to do anything without our brothers, at least not something of this nature. So, you know, again, Brother Ramesses, come on in, because he's sitting over there. And Brother Ramesses, you're on point in the analysis, and that's what I want you to bring in come October when it's time for the brothers to sit down and talk about, okay, this is why this is happening, all right? Because brothers, some brothers don't know that. They don't know why they're ill or why they're functioning a certain way. And the flip side of that, and then I'm going to let you brothers talk some more, sisters are going to take on greater responsibility. You know, we're setting up mechanisms where we deal with young sisters from 7 to 17 so that at an early age they can know better about who they are, why they must not allow anybody, man, woman, child, dog, cat, nobody, make them feel or seem lesser than or any of that. We will take on the responsibility as women to now provide information and insight to our women and girls. So we're going to do our part, too, okay? Now, one thing, final thing, Brother Gary once said, and hopefully we'll get him on soon. He's one of our brothers also. He once said, because I sat down, because I wanted to hear what brothers are saying, and he said, I said, brother, what do you feel about when brothers say, well, you know, the way the sisters be looking, they shouldn't be out looking like that, because they kind of almost, you know, invite somebody to do something to them. I said, brother, what do you feel about that? And the brother told me this. And I'm paraphrasing. He says, I don't care how a woman is looking. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't give a man any right to violate her.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Okay. So we're going to put that argument that other people be saying about, well, she shouldn't be wearing this, and she shouldn't be looking like that. Okay, yeah, that has, we got to deal with that. And there ain't no question.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't trying to dismiss that. Don't get me wrong. We're going to talk. We're going to deal with that. However, you still have no right to rape or beat or plunder or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm gonna be quiet. Y'all go ahead.
Okay.
Well, sister, this is Brother Darrell again. I'm in North Carolina, and I guess I want to just touch lightly on this. There's two instances that I'm going to bring forward that kind of puts, a place map of where I'm located. Raleigh is one of the capital cities of North Carolina, and it's not Charlotte, but it's like a small upcoming town. It's a very political town. You don't see a lot of conscious awareness here. Unlike Durham, North Carolina. Durham
mm-hmm.
in itself is a totally different level of, black exposure, Pan-Africanism, awareness of conscious people. But back to the mainstream issue, there was a Duke Lacrosse issue that happened maybe 2 years ago now, where three Duke Lacrosse members of university had sexually molested a young black lady that was
mm-hmm.
an I just leave that in your minds to let you guys think about that. Because that spun off a whole new ordeal that is still making contemplations in the news to this day with that young lady. And the second one is with the school system going back to segregation. And our public school systems are trying to make the areas completely segregated schools. Now, I don't have a problem with that at
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have a problem with that. And I must let you people know, or everybody know, I never have a problem with my black children sitting in a black classroom learning about Nat Turner and Elijah Muhammad and black consciousness. But I know the school agenda will not make that happen. They'll put some Ann Coulter-type blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil up there with her eyes to poke out, look like she's got a thyroid problem, and try to expose what black history is to my black child. That's what I have a problem with.
Brother Darrell, hold that point right there. I got somebody trying to get in. Caller, at your last digits are 8282, I believe. Did you want to chime in or come in and give a comment?
Well, I'm grateful to be able to get in and get into some kind of catch up with where you guys are talking about from what I did here.
This is not Shango. I'm from Shango Wanda. Is that you?
Yeah.
Family, we got one of my warrior brothers on here as well, and now I got like 4 or 5 warrior brothers on this line. Woo wee! Family, meet Brother Shango, Okofu Shango Wande. Of course,
peace,
Brother Ramasu's known, but Brother Darrell and Brother
Boyd
Standing.
Peace.
Yes. I'm blessed to be in here. I'm at a festival right now for Bosun Ogun Abena, but when I came up with a little air and saw this text, and I had to get in. As far as brothers putting your hands on a sister, you can't call yourself a brother.
That's right.
There's no excuse. There's no precedence. There's no justification. There ain't nothing. Because the reason why I say you can't call yourself a brother, because that kind of behavior originates with the mother people, and that's where it should reside. And
okay.
We're not a people. We aren't scared of women. You know what I mean? And that comes from fear.
That's
right.
The recognition
that comes from a people with a history of fear and distaste and loathing for their own female principle.
Mm.
And so therefore they try to contain it and control it and dominate it and oppress it.
Mm.
But that's what an unhealthy, what a defective cell is going to do. A defective cell attacks healthy cells.
Mm.
So this is something that has nothing to do with the black experience at all, except for after infection.
Mm.
There you go. That's the ticket.
So that's not ours. That's not ours. So anybody that tries to develop any platform based on clothing or anything of that nature, we come from places where we didn't have to have clothes. You
that's
go over
that.
In Africa.
See, you cooking.
You go over in Africa where we're some places where it's so hot where you can't put no clothes on. And ain't nobody hard or nobody excited.
That's
you know what I mean?
You cooking. You talk that.
Somebody walk around in the sector, right?
Because they know what their function is. They've been raised to understand their function in society. See, if you don't know what a man is, I don't care how hard you try to be one, you can't be one. If I give you the blueprint to a plane and tell you to build me a boat, it's going to sink.
There you go. You're saying it right. Keep
it's
it
not going to fly. It's not going to float. It's going to sink. So as long as we deal with somebody else, and that goes straight to this education system thing. Everybody keep talking about the quality of education. What they're doing has nothing to do with education.
That's right.
You
that's
got it
not,
right.
That's
keep
not
it up,
education
Samuel.
Whatsoever. You know what I mean? When you talk about institutions serve the interests of those who create them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And if the schools would fail, they would have been shut them down. They're
that's
doing
right.
exactly what they were designed to do.
Thank you.
That's the story of our children. You know, mm-hmm. after they've gotten the father out the house for frustrating him and telling him to go upside his woman's head.
That's right.
Got him out the house, and now mom's out. Mm-hmm. Trying to keep the electric on in the summer and the gas on in the winter. Mm-hmm. And who's got our children?
That's
the
right.
Just half the day and BET the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So that's the problem.
Keep
I'll
it
all
up.
Over again.
Pound them, Shango. Pound them, because you're right where I want to be. I'm telling
you.
All you brothers will get a chance to meet in October, and I want to also let you know that on Sunday, this past Sunday, we put out the first call through the commercial airwaves. I was on a brother named David Barnes. I was on his show, and we put the first call out to the 10,000 men here in Philadelphia that came together in 1997 around the issue of violence. We put the call out and said, where will you now be, or where will you stand now, since 10,000 of you came and stood because it was violence in our community, which was really about gun violence and other stuff that's happened in the community on the street. Okay, they had no plan about no sisters. But now we're saying, the 10,000 of you, what is your position? Where will you stand? And now this Monday, we'll put the call out to the million men that came together in 1995. We want to know where those brothers stand now. Will you stand with us now?
Right. You know, you let the, yeah, this, I'm 100% behind that, because anytime you can get 10,000 black men, I got to state right now for the record that I was there.
That's right.
But I protested outside. I wasn't inside. I protested outside for people not to go in there because I told them cowards, how dare they come together, 10,000 strong, ready to go to war against their own children after they failed to protect them children, after they let from the government. You want to go ask the government to help you go to war against your children after you failed to protect those children from the government. You, those same Negroes that lined up down there, let everybody in the world come in the community and take all the money out, gave it all for every chicken wing and built million-dollar churches instead of production centers to employ those children, and then you want to go to war against them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, we're talking about 2007 here in Philly. Now, no, Brother Shango, I don't know if you heard.
I was there. I was on the inside.
No. We're talking about 2007 when the 10,000 men
that's what
came.
I'm
yeah,
talking
that's
about.
What I'm talking about.
Oh,
yeah.
You was here?
That's what I'm talking about. Listen, the people who were organizing the 10,000 man march from it started out at Temple University and it went around to all the schools. They asked me, because I used to go right up front. They say, brother, didn't I see you at the meeting in South Philadelphia? Didn't I see you at the meeting in West Philadelphia? Didn't I see you at the meeting over here? I went. They said, brother, why are you showing up at all the meetings? I said, because I'm telling you now what you're doing.
Right.
Okay,
whoa.
And I want to see you when you get there. And
okay.
They did exactly what I said they were going to do, disappear.
Right,
no.
And it's been now, here we are, 2000,
because
almost 12,
they
and
not,
they haven't patrolled the street, did nothing.
What they did was I said, why aren't you putting any economics into the situation? Why aren't you creating an economic environment that's going to get these people out? You're asking the people to volunteer while paying the administration who's going to do nothing. You're already discouraging the situation.
Right.
Okay? Then they take and say, okay, well, we're taking all the information to organize. Okay,
right.
you're taking the information, but what are you organizing, and when are the plans coming out to hit the street?
Right.
Brother Shango, you hit every instance that I wanted to talk about. See, we look at who's hitting the sister, but we're not looking at who is hitting the system. We're looking at the effect, not the cause. Okay, and that's what we were building up to. So we're going to race through all of that, and brothers, when we get together, we'll sit down and dialogue and talk. All right. And that's why I want to, you know, I want to stay right to the issue of what you're talking about on the program. So bring it
and
back around.
And the issue's
already
been put down, clear cut, and to the point by Brother Amos Wilson. Black men, black young youth are going to attack women. They're going to attack each other. They're going to attack the parents. They're going to attack everybody until black men stand up and are willing to fight white men over the power to direct their lives.
Right.
Until we stand up as men and decide that we're going to determine that we're going to control our destiny, and we're going to determine the economics in our community, and we're going to determine the conditions and quality in our community, it's going to go on. You know, we've got to stand up and protect our children. We've got to go in these schools, take control of these children, but we've got to protect our children. And that should be the whole theme of this. Who is going to stand up and defend our women?
That's right. And that was what we've been saying. Who will stand up and defend and protect the black woman? And that's been really one of the major focuses. And again, brothers, just so you'll know, October, two-day session with two town meetings, or what we call African village meetings, in the evening. And this is going to be very serious, because you all are really commissioned to put something together that is going to be groundbreaking. Now, the other thing I want to add is this. Just as there were 10,000 men here in Philly, over the past couple of years, there's been other groups, a few, such as the Peacekeepers, who I think they started in Houston, but also have now gone into New York, and they had a rally in Trenton a few months ago. Brother Shingo, you remember when the little sister was raped? And they had this big, big meeting. Russell Simmons' group was a part of it. And again, they had this big hoopla. Didn't have hardly no sisters participating. Now, here they're talking about the rape of a young sister. And yet again, nothing really came about it. These people take photo ops and you know, galvanize funds that they get from corporations, you know, with the alleged work they're going to do. But, I mean, where, what? So what we're doing as women, as sisters, is we're taking the reins in this. We have wonderful brothers who have no problem with that. And I have to always emphasize that, because it is such a beautiful thing when our men are not only black enough, but man enough to say, look, we see what you sisters are doing. We applaud it, and we stand with you. That's a beautiful thing, and I want to again say to all of you brothers, we certainly appreciate that. Ultimately, our people will appreciate that, because they'll begin to see and realize that what we as women are saying is not feminism, is not anti-brother, anti-whatever, man. We ain't talking none of that. That's nowhere in our conversation, nowhere in our mind, nowhere in our tactic, none of that, okay? But what we are saying is this, that we will now make certain that our brothers act more responsibly, in that we have sisters, black women, who have male children. We need help. We're asking for help from our brothers. Mm-hmm. We have so many women who don't have a strong black man in their life or in their accessibility. That's what we want to make accessible, with no strings attached. Because in the past, it'd be, well, sometimes if people do certain things, they're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
and
see, now you brothers can monitor all of that, too.
Right.
Look,
the most important thing
I want,
a child needs coming into adulthood, is to know that they have somebody they can go to that don't want nothing from them.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
That's the reason why parents are supposed to survive.
Pardon. I just wanted to add this on. This is one understanding. I just want to add on to what the sister has said about sisters allowing, you know, brothers like, say, like myself and the rest of you brothers to come into their lives, even though we don't deal with them on a physical level, but raise the young brothers. Because I'm in that situation right now where I got this little, the young 10-year-old brother, and I'm guiding him and showing him into manhood, you know what I mean, because his father is not there. And that's one of the things that I'm doing personally, and brothers that I know of that are doing in the mentoring and these young brothers. I'm talking about the brothers 10 years old and, you know, catching him early, you know what I mean, and really building with him and showing him, you know, the right way to go. Keeping him away from, you know, different situations out in the street and all that. But the sister, she allowed me and she trusted me enough with her son to say, you know, I trust you, you know, with his life. You know what I mean? And that's a big thing. So I just wanted to add that in.
We got to do the same thing with
the women too. We got to present an example so strong, so they have something to compare to, something to contrast to, so they know what.
Right.
See, if they don't know what a man is, they won't know what to look for in one.
They show
you know what I mean?
Examples of other what they see on those TV
right.
shows that
right.
there's nothing but the negativity of black men.
That's right.
I don't watch TV.
First and foremost, we got to keep in mind, and the problem with all those other so-called attempts and those highly publicized little grand shows, they were all those things were seeking solutions from the problem. Each and every one of them. The reason why I couldn't get associated with any one of them was in the one in Philly, they ended up having Lynn Abraham, this Nazi white district attorney. You know what I mean? They all have a police component in it. And everybody knows there ain't no police district nowhere in the world got any interest in the black child but in locking them up.
That's right.
The solution is just locking them. That's what they're there for.
That's
what they're not trying to keep me out of them. So our solutions have to come from us. And we're totally qualified to come up with our own solutions. We don't have to go to the police for nothing.
That's
you
right.
know what I mean? The police want to do something. They can go police themselves. That's the best
thing. Go get a dog.
That's right. See, Brother Darrell, I told you there's some more brothers out here like you, talking like you talking, feeling like you feeling and ready to do what you ready to do.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I'm gonna tell you, it's like being home, being able to talk to brothers, you know, like I'm able to be exposed with.
Right.
Believe me, when you get isolated from different areas and you get people that look at you because you stand up, because you speak out, because you picket school systems, because you go against police departments, or because you stand up and expose corruptions in the judgment and the systems, how they get paid off. People, even my own people from various communities, religious organizations, and radicalism organizations in my area, when they see me walking in grocery stores or in public, they turn around, they look, they hold their heads down, or they just try to pretend like they didn't see me at the traffic light, or they walk away from you, and they treat you like, you know, you're a disease or you don't belong there or something. And I'm like, well, you know, wait a minute, what's going on?
Because you represent a choice to them. What you represent to them is see, they look at you and they say, they remember the compromises they made in order to be comfortable.
There
you know what I mean? And they say, damn, I didn't have to sell. I didn't have to go chase these other people and all that little stuff. I could have held my integrity. I could have been real. I didn't have to sell my soul because the transference and loss of soul is a gradual period.
Mm.
And the people, they start making them little concessions, you know what I mean? They start out hardcore and they get their job and they get their mortgage payment and their car payment, and then they go, then the crackers tell them to go fire their friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
They start breaking down your morality right there, you know what I mean? So,
yeah, because they look at you and it's like, man, it's like,
that's
I forced them to make a decision. I forced them to change, and they're
right.
not comfortable
you represent
with that.
You represent the compromise that they made with themselves, and it's, sometimes it's hard for them. So in order for them to be able to be comfortable with themselves, they got to tear you down. They got to find something wrong with you.
And believe me, brother, it makes me so angry when I deal with them on a regular basis or when I see them in certain, you know, groups of activity where we have to be structured, get things done in the community. It almost makes me wonder, you know, maybe I ought to just sit back and hope that maybe if slavery came back into effect again in my area, maybe it'll wake some of these bourgeois people up.
Well, these are the defeated ones. These are what you call vanquished Negroes. These are the ones that have vested interest in maintaining the system the way it is. Don't worry about
being
them.
Being hot wings and pizza with a knife and fork.
Media,
I mean, how politically correct can that be?
The media makes it look like you're alone. They make it look like everybody has already accepted this thing. You know what I mean? They say capitalism's won and wrong. Like the only thing wrong with black people is we just haven't figured out how to fit into society.
Let me chime in for a minute.
I just want to say this, just to connect you and Brother Shango as well. Brother Shango had a construction company also. Brother Shango, Brother Bourne, understanding is ready to start training people because
yes,
these are some dialogues that we've been having over the past week. So I want the two of you to connect a little later on. But
I'm back on the trucks again.
Okay, the brother is willing and ready. We have some other brothers that we're going to bring in a little later on that now are doing construction, et cetera, Brother Tyson and so forth. So I just wanted to kind of convey that to you all because, again, when we talk about solutions, we talk about how are we going to resolve some of these problems. And Brother Ramasu's mentioned some things, too, and I just want to let you all know that these are some of the things that are in progress. And one final thing, and then Brother Board Understanding, I want you to continue. The other thing I want to mention is, Brother Shango and I have talked about even, and Brother Darrell too, even changing some of the terminologies or some of the jargon that's used in as we convey certain things. For example, we're not going to talk about mentoring. We're not going to talk about that. Why? That's just a used up, cliche, mean nothing kind of word. Usually if somebody's doing that, it ain't going to be about nothing helping us.
Oh, it means something to me, homosexual side of me. That's what it means. It means sodomizing a young boy. That's what it means.
Yeah.
When
you say the word mentoring, when you look at from my demographic area, when you say mentoring to the average black brother on the street today, that means work. That means work with no financial pay. You're not getting any self-gratification out of it. It's not self-glorifying.
That's what she's talking about, the terminology. Let me chime in right there.
That's exactly what it hits here.
But the terminology, see, you say self-gratification. See, we don't realize what we need in creating that self-gratification. Self-gratification cannot be based on the European substance called money. That is the illusion from our economics right there.
We
are the economics.
Because
we don't deal with it, because we don't deal with us, the energy, the source, building the trades and technology that we need to create the society that we need to separate from the system, to separate from the people who are continuously keeping us in prison. Understand? We keep going right into the same mode. Now, I'm going to keep being quiet because, you guys are going at it. But when we get into the forum, then I can let you know what we got to do.
All right, let's organize. Can we set a date and time around? It seems like there's a lot of brothers on this line. Can we set a date for a brother? I don't know where everybody's at. I know Ramos is at, but I don't know where everybody's at. But can we set a time right now for a brother's conference call?
Absolutely. I've been trying to get you. Yes, indeed. No, that was our next step because May the 7th,
we can get some foundational things together.
That's right.
We haven't forgotten about your sister, Heffer. Mind you, it's just so good to hear from the brothers, okay? So we got mad love for you, sister.
Look, don't y'all realize yet that this is about bringing us all together and really almost, making certain that we are so focused. Everybody understands what we're, each component is how they're operating and so forth. So that's been my role to help to pull this thing together in such a way that it's happening. Now, to answer Brother Shango's question, absolutely. Now, May the 7th, please note this, May the 7th is the official day for the kickoff of the National Campaign for the Elimination of Violence and Abuse of Black Women, Africana Women, and Girls. That's a national campaign. I'm starting to go in the different cities. That's why Brother Darrell said to you, I'm ready to come to Raleigh or wherever. They're scheduling me for New York. They're scheduling me, Chairman Fred Hampton is scheduling me for Chicago. I'm going to Detroit. So this whole summer, we will be organizing because next May in Washington, D.C., we will be having a week-long summit so that any group, individual, or whatever that is interested or doing work in the area of violence and abuse, we will all convene there and put all these pieces together so that there's an underground network put in place. You hear what I'm saying, Brother Born Understanding? Underground network put in place. Now, I address that to Brother because I'm going to bring him back in a minute because I didn't forget you, Brother. But I'm saying that because part of what we're doing is so well connected, meaning Brother Understanding is over there in Burlington where a few weeks ago I met the elder who owns and operates the Underground Railroad historical site in Burlington.
Yep.
Okay, so now we're here in Philly. We know we have underground railroads in other parts of the country. We're going to literally make an effort to connect to every underground railroad location throughout the country, and they're going to serve as basis for us, too. We're going to make this stuff very interactive to make certain that the right energy and synergy is in place. So I'm going to answer Brother Shango's question. I'm going to go to you, Brother Born Understanding. Brother Shangawandi, yes, indeed, after May 7th, it was our intention for the brothers to begin to organize. We already set you up with an email address. It's already done. It's just a question now of consolidating the date. Once we put out the next announcement, which goes out Monday on a national level, for any black man who is genuinely concerned, they will now be able to call in for that conference call. You all can set a date tonight if you'd like. And that way, it'll already your email address is already set up, and it's just a question of you selecting the date, and you will have your first conference call.
I'm flexible.
Don't start with that. I'm flexible. Get a date, man. Stop playing.
Give it
stop up. Playing.
Pick
Shango, you
one.
Know
pick
I ain't going to
pick
gonna keep playing with the thing.
Pick it, Robinson.
Listen.
Let's do another one tomorrow.
That's right.
No,
that's right.
We got to wait till after
May
7th.
Listen, you all know that, what did I say, 1609 Cecil B. Moore. I'll put it out there because that's where I'm at. You know, come on over. Let's hold a discussion. We can hold a morning discussion, or we can hold an evening discussion.
Okay. We can do that too, Brother Ramasuz, but what we're focusing on as well is so that brothers from other cities.
That's what I'm saying.
Do a conference call.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
we set it
I'm
up.
Still in New York.
Right, that's right, because Brother Darrell, he's in North Carolina. Brother Bourne is over in Jersey. Brother Shango, I think, is right now in Jersey. You're here
in
Philly. So what we want to make sure is both in Cali and Detroit and Chicago, we'll all be able to connect at that one time.
That's right. We got to set it up, but we got to set it up in real time. We got to say, hey, look, we're going to do this tomorrow. And the groups that are here set up so that we can get in line to bring in that conference call to set up ways that we can bring this whole piece together.
Okay,
and then
I have
start
a suggestion.
In with the solution.
I have a suggestion, and we're going to go to Brother Bourne. My suggestion is, hold on, I'm pulling my calendar, and then that doesn't mean that you all can't still connect before then, but for a national teleconference call, I'm going to schedule that for Sunday, May the 15th. How's that? Because you can't do it the 8th because that's Mother's Day. Well, I can't say you can't. You might not want to do it on the 8th because that's Mother's Day. This Sunday is too soon. The next Sunday is, and I'm saying Sunday because most people are able to fit it into their schedule on a Sunday, in the early evening.
Well,
7, 8 o'clock.
You know me. Sunday's
Monday.
Yeah. How does it sound for the rest of you?
Y'all talking about setting up the thing for the national thing.
Right.
That's cool. But can you put us together one of them rooms for tomorrow so that the people that's on the phone now can get together and kick it a little bit and try to get some foundational stuff together? We can talk about who else we might want to have ready for the next thing.
You got it.
We can get moving a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Can you set me up a room? You know what I mean? A number, just text us. You know what I mean? Like you did it here.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to inferior. This is Brother Darrell. Make sure if you can that we all network our emails. I guess I'll leave up to you my contact information.
Great.
And get that to the other brothers and get that to them and vice versa.
Okay.
And you'll be the central point of communication of how we network and get information. So if you send me an email with the other brothers, contact or how they can contact me and vice versa, we can build on that list and add to that, and we can stay in contact with each other.
Okay, we'll do that. And now, in terms of scheduling your conference call, what do you want, Monday? Because I see you don't want to procrastinate, and I'm down with that. So you want to go tomorrow or Monday?
Unless you give a specific time on Monday, you know Monday.
I know your show is at 8 o'clock. Right, so I got that for you. But I'm saying either Sunday or Monday, and it could be for you, Brother Ramasus.
Monday, everybody good tomorrow evening?
Okay.
I'm good tomorrow evening.
I'm good. Hey, look.
All right. Tomorrow evening, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock?
Maybe 7. I want to make sure everybody's at home and we all, you know, had a little food in our stomach.
Okay. 7:30. All right.
Yeah,
7:30. Got it.
All right.
I'll send you your information. Let's see, tomorrow, 7:30. You'll have it in the morning. Everyone will get an email in the morning with the call-in number and so forth.
Yeah, okay,
because we need, you know, do some kicking and get some foundational things.
All
in order,
right.
You know what I mean?
You got it.
And make sure we, you know, get to understand each other a little better. See, because all of us, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. All of us have been running around in this world feeling like we by ourselves. You know what I mean? So the fact that got this media so wrapped up, look like everybody else is thrilled with this plantation. But it ain't like that. You think something wrong with you. Like, damn, I'm the only one to see this shit. No, it ain't like that. You know, and you be thinking something wrong with you. And I went through that for a long time. I know y'all did, you know what I mean? But there's a whole lot of us, and there's a whole lot more, you know what I mean? There's a whole lot more, so it's time for us to connect. And we ain't got to worry about everybody, because it ain't going to
right.
take everybody.
Like
you know,
pieces of broken glass is scattered about everywhere.
Yes, sir. You don't take everybody. The rest of there's those that ain't gonna come to the supermarket clothes. You know what I mean? They can't get no ribs in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You know, but it ain't about them. It's about, let's show them what a few dedicated advocates can do.
That's right.
Right.
All right, my brothers. Well, you got
we'll
it.
We'll need 10,000. Put that 10,000 in shame.
Rest assured, by 9 a.m. in the morning, you will have your conference call information. So check your email.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
All right. Brother Bourne, I know you've been waiting. Go ahead, brother. You had something that you wanted to add in.
I was doing the knowledge to you know what was in the air. And as far as that knowing, definitely the next day I definitely want to do that and tie in with the brothers. And you gotta text me because my email situation
okay.
is
gotcha. Okay, I got all you. Right. All righty. I'm writing that down now for you now.
Yeah.
I'll text you.
I got texts too, brother, so don't feel bad. I do text and email.
You can't, it don't matter what you do. You can't get away from sis. She do it all. At the same time. At the same time.
I just want to add, Dr. Damien Wilson is one of my heroes. That's all I got to say.
Right. And Brother Darrell and I, we talked about Dr. Khaled.
You
know so, of course, Brother Tango.
Remember Dr. Khaled.
Oh yeah, so you are all in sync and definitely the energy is definitely connected. So, you know, we know what to do. We know what to do and we know it's time to do it. And brothers, I certainly appreciate you all stepping up and doing what you know that needs to get done. You know, you're going to set the right examples and then some. So I applaud you. I applaud you.
Empress Chi, I did want to, I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear
mm-hmm.
me? I did want to say one thing that really kind of bothered me. I do want to, if anybody is in the Bridgeport, Connecticut area,
mm-hmm.
if they see that homeless sister, Tanya McDowell, who was arrested and incarcerated, I don't know if she's out or if she's on the street again. She apparently lost her apartment, and whoever she listed her apartment with for a child to go to school, they were apparently kicked out of their domain dwellings as well.
So if there's any brother
in that area of Bridgeport, Connecticut, please extend a welcome to that family if they have to wash up or if they need a place to sleep or if they're in a car and don't have anywhere to park. At least let them park on your property where they'll feel protected, at least for a good night's sleep until they get on their feet or whatever you can do to help, and call in and let us know what the status is on her situation.
And I'll make sure we follow up on this on Tuesday with our national teleconference call. And, Brother John, I'll talk with you tomorrow so I can get more, because this is the first I'm hearing of this.
Yeah,
see, this
that
is why we're doing what we're doing, why we put together the Black Women's Defense League, because there's nothing on a national level that we can tap into to do these kinds of things that's ready and just able to go immediately. So this kind of stuff will not be happening come this time next year. So thank you,
that's
brother,
right.
Definitely.
Right.
All right, family, well, you know what? We only have a few more minutes. We're going to get each one of you, a half a minute. We're down to our last 3 minutes, family. So briefly, if anyone has any closing comments, if I'd known this, I would have extended the show earlier, but I can't now. But if you have any closing comments, we have 3 minutes roughly.
Well, my closing comment, since I've been quiet the whole time, you know, I'm listening. And always learn it. So, brothers, when we get together, the first agreement that we need to have is we're going to listen and learn. And when we come out of it, come out with solutions to the challenge. Mm-hmm. Come out with solutions to the challenge. And I know we can, because we are already on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's the whole trick of it all. We're already on the same page. Now, let's enact what we are empowered to do. Brother Shango, I know you know who your deity is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're not misrepresented by the white eye. You know what I'm saying? The blue eyes, brown hair, white skin. I know you ain't tricked up like that. And see, that a lot of the things that we touch on, we leave out the key elements, and this is why we continue to spin in this particular circle. We are already on the same page. I have listened to all the brothers talk tonight. And every component that you talked about is right on the same page.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's just turn it right to the same channel, man. All right. So that's my comment. I'm listening.
All right, my brother. Anyone else? We have one more minute. All right. Well, needless to say. It's been another productive and great night, and I want to thank you, brothers, again for this powerful dialogue. And I'm going to leave the way we kind of started. We want all of you to know that we are standing up. We are not only fighting back, but we're getting ready to kick some butt, okay? Mm. And we started off tonight with this song, and I want you, brothers, to hear this because this is what I mean. I ain't apologizing for it. I thank all of you again. We thank you all, family, for tuning in and for being here with us tonight. And we'll be back next week. My name is Empress Chi. You are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. And do y'all hear this?
Stay back.
Yeah. Hey, Shango, give me a call when you get off the air.
Yeah, the big payback. Hey.
Getting ready to kick out all white domination, the attempted global white domination. Big payback.
Payback. I'm mad. Get down.
Tune in next week. We'll be black. Peace, family.
Thanks.
Peace.
All right.
Hell, never do anything.